Hi and welcome. You're listening to Air and Share. In this episode, we're speaking with a musician from North Carolina, and he's going to share with us his story in music and wellness. Let's connect.
Great to be a part of somebody else's podcast.
Oh, welcome aboard. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much as well.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited. Definitely excited.
Thank you. So where do we start?
Sure.
To introduce, first of all, who you are, what you do, and then from the beginning to how you got involved in what you do.
Okay. My name is Matthew Ablan. That's spelled with an A-B-L-A-N. And I'm a musician. I've been a musician since I'm a young kid, got into it. Went to college, became a music educator. I've been a music educator of elementary school children, grades K through five here in the States for the last 14 years. And I also perform around town and a podcaster. I'm a blogger. So a lot of everything that I do revolves around music in one way or another. It's kind of my thing.
That is your thing.
Yeah. I think I have a knack for it, but I don't think it's any, I think that knack only occurs for me when I've worked on it hard. It's not something that's ever came perfectly easy. I have friends who everything it seems they do is just, I just look at them and wonder, like, how do you do that? You know, and I've got to spend 10 hours doing what musicians call woodshedding or practicing till I get it. And I'm like, oh, that's how you do it. Okay.
So, I see. Yeah. No, I understood. So you have to hone in your craft to be the best.
Yes.
And in what you do as well. I mean, that's definitely something, because then you feel a sense of, I guess, more achievement and more reward. And that's,
you know,
I hear you there. I definitely hear you there. Did you always have family support?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, there was always that you need to have some kind of plan, something to think about. And that's, for me, there was nothing else I wanted to do. I had a lot of options by the time I was finishing school of what I would like to do. My brother had a landscaping business at the time. My father had a fabricated steel business. One of my uncles worked for the railroad. Another worked for the Jacob Javits Center in New York City. So there was always somewhere else I could kind of go if I didn't want to do music, but it was really the only thing I was interested in, and I kind of needed to follow that path. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I knew I wouldn't be happy. You know, I don't care where it led. I just needed to follow it and see where it would go. So that's part of my happiness.
I mean, can you elaborate more on that? Have you seen other people or people that you know who maybe had the inclination for music but didn't pursue it? And how do they feel now? Do they have any regrets or?
Well, I could say, you know, I'm a guitar player by nature. That's just the instrument of choice that I play. And growing up and being in high school, there were a lot of guys who were just could outplay me. I mean, at least in my head, you know, they were much better musicians than me. And for whatever reason or another, their lives took a different path. And several friends I know, they still play, but they don't play professionally anymore. Their life took a different path. They have married with kids, and they could, you know, they needed to support a family. So sometimes being a musician is not that conducive to raising a family. And being a musician in itself can be a very selfish thing. You need your time to practice. You need time to play. You need time to perform. You need time to do all the things that you do that go into being a musician. And I'm single. So I'm not married with kids. So it's easy for me to do whatever I want to do, but for other folks, it's not. And I don't know. Some folks may be unhappy, but maybe other folks weren't happy when they were doing it in the first place. So it wasn't truly something that they wanted to do.
True.
I just knew for me, it was something I wanted that bad.
Then you pursued it. And that's the thing for myself when I was younger, believe it or not, I wanted to be a singer and dancer. If you look at me now, you'd be like, what? that's what I really, really wanted to do. Am I regretful of it? Not particularly, but, you know, it'd be interesting just to sometimes just wonder, I wonder how I would have been now. You know, would we even be talking right now if I was a singer dancer right now. You know, you got these just all these things. But
well, maybe you would be. Maybe you'd be doing a podcast about singing and dancing, you know, and music. You never know. I mean, it's you don't know what path. Like, I could tell you, I mean, in my path as a musician, I mean, it started from I wanted to impress girls to I wanted to be a rock star. And, you know, it taken the long and winding road, as it were, you know, and I went from that to studying classical guitar to becoming a music educator, leading a jazz big band, accompanying flamenco dancers. Like, it's been all over the place. It's been great to see where things have gone. And I'm not some famous rock star by any stretch, but, you know, the experiences I've had are, to me, are just
phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Wow. I mean, flamenco to jazz band to just everything in between. That sounds amazing. So what's your last concert or gig that you did?
Well, I don't play concerts, as it were, like I'm in a rock band and I go on tour. I'm a local musician in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. So I perform at lots of breweries, restaurants in town. So I was playing, this last year, I don't know. Some folks might think it's a lot. Some folks don't think it's a lot, but I was playing about 115 to 120 gigs last year.
That's at least a lot.
Three times. I think so. I mean, it was good. It was a good year before the virus hit and kind of knocked everybody's business out, including, you know, not even just musicians performing, but restaurants for you to perform in or bars for you to perform in. So I would say the last gig was back in March, right before the virus hit, and I had played at a vineyard here in Charlotte. And great place.
Oh, was it? Oh, how was so? The reception was nice.
Yeah, wonderful crowd. They have a wine tasting once a week, so they have crowds who come in and they show off their vineyard. And as part of that, I perform, or other musicians perform on their series.
And you mentioned that, you know, your choice of instrument is a guitar. So
yes,
and you've been a musician. So do you write your own music, as it were? Do you make your own melody?
Yeah, I mean, For me, that has not been a big calling that I felt. Traditionally, played a lot of cover music. So right now I do like acoustic rock, classic rock covers when I perform. Playing in jazz or flamenco, I'm always playing somebody else's stuff. But up until recently, the last year, I've been working on my own original music. And I've been working on an EP, which hopefully will be out by the end of the year. And I'll be able to get that out. I've always felt, for me, that's been a hole in my musicianship, as it were, because as a complete musician, I think there's a lot of things that you should be able to do. You should be able to perform. You should be able to teach. You should be able to record. You should be able to write your own music. And that makes for a more well-rounded musician. And I felt that that's been the gaping hole in my roundedness was writing my own stuff. So, but that's coming along. That's something I'm trying to change.
Well, that's good. All good things come for your music. So hopefully, you know, this situation now with the pandemic, you know, it dies down in the best of ways, and
yes, hopefully
that we set for ourselves in the best of ways. That's what we want, right? So, you know, have our target in mind. So an EP, amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping. It just takes a little more work. The songs are actually written. They're just all getting. I'm just waiting for the things to die down so that I can get to record the other musicians who need to come and record their parts. I've got a friend of mine who's a drummer, but we are on hold right now to getting the drums recorded because of that. So, but hopefully soon. I'll send you a recording when it's done.
So, oh my gosh. Yes. That'd be very good. Maybe we can use it on my podcast and then I can hype you up at the end and say who played it and go check you out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it.
You see, and also I just want to ask, have you experienced performance anxiety, and if you did, how did you overcome it?
Wow, that's a great question. Yes, in a big way. I didn't get to, when I started playing guitar, most of the I started as a rock musician, and I didn't really start to perform it until I started to get a little older, until I was in my late teens, early 20s, and really didn't even wind up that the bands I was in didn't really get out to perform much. And when I was in my late teens and 20s, I started going to college and started studying classical guitar. Now, if you've ever been to a rock concert or a rock show, people are loud, people are drinking, people are not always just paying attention to the band. But when I started studying classical guitar, you as a classical musician, if you've ever been to a classical concert, are the main focus. And the audience is absolutely quiet. And they look at you. And they're not looking at anything else.
That's so true. Very true.
So my first time performing classical music was for a college class. And I was going to perform this piece by Bach. And I came in and I tell this story to all my students because I teach guitar and even my kids at school that I teach. I came in and I had my guitar and they're like, okay, Matt, you're going to play? I'm like, sure. And I sit down and literally, no joke, my right hand, which had to play the strings, was shaking so bad I couldn't grip the strings. My left hand, which is on the neck, was shaking so bad I couldn't put my fingers down. And then my leg was shaking and bouncing. The guitar was literally bouncing up and down in my leg. I could not perform. That first time I walked out of class, I'm sorry, I can't do this, guys. I just walked out. I could not perform. It just shook me to the core, performing in front of folks. And I literally never got over it, even when I went to when I was during my college years and into graduate school, performing for folks was always something. I gotten better at it the more I did it, but performing classical, I never actually got comfortable people sitting there staring at you in absolute silence. And when I would do it, I had gotten better over the years. My hands had stopped shaking. My legs had stopped shaking. I was able to focus. And then the sweat would just come.
and
you'd be sweating, and like as a normal course of things, my hands are rather dry, and I have to put on, you know, hand lotion to keep my hands from drying out. But when I would perform classical guitar, my hands would sweat. Like never in my life do they sweat except when I would be performing on classical guitar. So needless to say, I didn't become a classical guitarist. I gotten better, and then a number of years later, when I moved to Charlotte, I had become a acoustic classic rock player, and it was nice because it's more of an ensemble. I would play with duos and trios and in rock bands, so I was no longer the center of attention. And now I started singing more, and which put me up front. And basically, the more I did it, the more I could move, playing rock guitar, I could move and exude excess energy that would make me nervous. And more I just got comfortable playing in front of folks so that it's not really an issue anymore, unless the crowd is rather large. We played a number of years ago, me and my friend, I play in an acoustic duo with called the Matt and John Acoustic Duo. We opened, surprisingly enough, for the Charlotte Symphony for their 4th of July celebration where they play Pops tunes. And nice. Yeah, the crowd was about 6,000 people.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we were normally playing for a lot of, for people all the time, and it was never a big deal. But I think we both got a little bit nervous because the crowd was rather large. I mean, not so much that we couldn't perform or that we were shaking, we were that nervous. We were just, wow, you know, I got some butterflies here. There's a lot of people here at the show. But, you know, it went off without a hitch, and we played pretty well and got a good crowd reaction. So, yeah, performance anxieties are a thing. And I think anybody who tells you otherwise in one way or another is not really telling the truth. You should have some kind of butterflies going in front of, you know, 100 people or even 10 people and playing, because it doesn't seem right, like it's natural to me at least to go in front of people and do stuff. You know,
you're a teacher, you know, so this usually the class is meant to be silent and you're stood up in front of how many people, 10, 20, 30 people. So it's just interesting when you take yourself from speaking to playing and everyone's silent. That's a whole different, that was a whole different ball game for you.
It is, yeah, but it's kind of the same, because when you're teaching, you are on stage. You're in front of stage in front of your students. And any teacher, and I'm guilty of it, I'm sure every teacher has had the same moment I've had, when the lesson is not going well, you all of a sudden are like, what's going on? And you, at that moment, like a performer, you need to go through all these, how do I salvage this lesson? What do I need to do to get the kids through this and get myself through this? And okay, good, we've finished with this, let's move on now. You are on stage. So.
Yeah. I see. Well, thanks for the insight there as well. Not many teachers would admit that, actually, but yeah, and that's the thing. So it's just about kind of reacting to the audience and vice versa, and trying to engage and trying to be confident as well, and get what you need to get across. And also, I just want to ask regarding, you know, what kind of genres do you really prefer? If you could just do that one genre, if all the genres were gone, which one would you do? Which one would you stick at?
I mean, obviously, for me right now, it's just rock. I mean, it's what I grew up with. I've tried other genres, and rock is in my blood, as it were. I've played in big band jazz groups, and I like jazz. It's just never really something that really spoke to me, that I was like, ooh, I've got to, this is the style. Or playing flamenco, one of the things I realized is playing that style particularly, if you want to play in that genre of flamenco, you really need to kind of live it, and you need to just breathe it. You need to go to Spain. And I didn't think it was a music that was natural to me. I love playing it. I enjoy playing it on a real basic level. I'm by no means a flamenco guitarist, but it was a lot of fun. But rock is something I grew up with. It's I don't want to say it's purely American, but it, I mean, it's an American style of music. You it's on the radio all the time. Whereas opposed to if I go to another country, that might not be the preferred style that's on the radio all the time when you pick it up. But it, growing up with it, yeah, it's definitely rock. That's the genre for me.
So you said you recently started singing. So, or not long ago started singing. So your last song, what is it? What was that about? What, or was it a cover? What was that about?
The last song that I sang?
Yeah, in front of people.
Do you consider Facebook Live in front of people?
Yeah, I would.
I actually did it. I've been testing the waters the last couple of days just for fun, because I haven't been performing since March. I have been hitting it rather hard lately, since March, just playing all the time. And this pause during the pandemic has been good for me to take a break and take a breath. And I haven't performed since March. So a number of my friends have been doing Facebook Live shows, and my friend has been, you know, nudging me. And funny enough, my principal at my school is like, you need to do, you know, performance for us virtually. And I said, okay, you know, I'll set something up. So last night I kind of tested the waters, and I was just getting used to, you know, how to set up Facebook Live. And I did a couple of numbers last night.
Last night.
Just for friends. Yeah.
Oh,
so I did. I don't know if it's a big hit over in the UK, but it's a tune called Wagon Wheel. It goes really over well here in the Carolinas, because it's about the Carolinas. And what else did I do? I did a number by Oasis. Yeah, Wonderwall.
Oh, that is a Manchester song through and through. That's where I'm from. That's where I'm from. So definitely had to do that one.
Yeah, well done. I did that. Yeah, and then I did a Jim Croce song called Bad Leroy Brown, if I could spit it all out.
Oh, very good. Very good indeed. Yeah. That's it. Especially with this, you know, with what's going on in the world, people have been forced to, you know, choose different ways to express themselves. So yeah, you know, Facebook Live or, you know, live casting and things like that, Zoom. It's just amazing how people are just trying to be, you know, intuitive and just express themselves. So well done for doing that. That was your first go, right?
Well, the Facebook Live, yeah. I mean, but it was fun. I had talked to a friend of mine because, again, I was working out the bugs for it because I didn't know how to use it. I never really did Facebook Live. And a friend of mine, I was talking to him afterwards, and he said, no, it sounded good. And I just laughed, and I was like, man, I said, I really enjoyed it. And he said, what do you mean you enjoyed it? And I said, I haven't been performing, you know, in a while. And I didn't think it was a big deal. And I said, wow. I said, I didn't realize what a high I would get, you know, just getting up and playing and knowing people are watching again. Like, that was fun. That was really fun. And it really boosted me up a bit, you know, gave me a little bit of a high. So.
Very good. Very good indeed. Well, honestly, it's good to hear as well. And, you know, with your music, if you could choose a person who you'd like to collaborate with, who would that be?
That's a great question. Is that alive or dead?
Any. Definitely.
Wow. I mean, if there was a person I would love to collaborate with, it would have to be the person who made me really want to start playing guitar, and that was Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. I mean, that's somebody I would, that's my guy who kind of fostered me to get into guitar.
Yeah. So. Led Zeppelin. Oh my gosh. Yes. What a band they are. What a band they are. Indeed.
Oh yeah. I mean, just a talented bunch of musicians, but, you know, Jimmy Page was that guy playing his guitar and the music itself and his genius in the studio just was something I've always admired.
Understood. And regarding rock and the fact that obviously that's your go-to, that's your style, that's the style that you're most comfortable with in terms of music, how mm-hmm. do you feel is with that drugs, rock and roll, how is that element in there? Have you seen anything like that, you know, the kind of the taboo side of rock?
Well, yeah, there's that shit. There is that. That's never been something for me. I've never been a heavy drinker. It's not something that I grew up with in my family. And, you know, growing up when I did in the 80s, I think everybody experimented somewhat, but I did know a lot of people who went down different paths and they got caught up in the drugs and the alcohol. I'm not really sure, per se, if it's the music itself that does that. I think sometimes people have a gene that they are predisposed to that kind of thing. But, you know, there's also that, you know, you're around party atmosphere and people get caught up in that. Sure. But that's not something that's ever gotten to me. Very quite good. Fortunately.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, very fortunately. So long may that continue as well. And how, in what way has music helped you through a certain obstacle in life that maybe found difficult?
That's an awesome question, actually. If anything, it's helped me focus it's given me a focus, something to keep me going. So as I said, when I was growing up, there was nothing else that I wanted to do. I just wanted to play music. So when I got into music, it gave me that focus to keep going and have something to look forward to. Because as a musician, if you're playing and you're learning new things, you're always getting better. Mm-hmm. You know, if you stay stagnant and you don't learn anything new, a new skill, a new song, something else along the way, or meet other people, I don't think you develop. And having music as that focus has helped me to keep moving forward in my life and figure out other skills. So for example, as a musician in today's society, you need to have multiple streams of income So it's given me, wow, how can I make money doing this? What do I need to do? And it's mm-hmm. given me a purpose, as it were, to move forward and advance, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I was just going to say, and it's also helped me through difficult times. I mean, if I've, you know, I've had family members or who have passed, it's given me something to, you know, I feel sad. I'm going to play some sad music, you know, to kind of get those emotions out of me. Or if I've broken up with a girlfriend and, you know, that's kind of really weighed on me, you know, I can focus on music because it's always been there. It's not going somewhere. You know, somebody in your life might have left, but guess what's constant? You know, that music, that guitar is always there. It's never said, I'm going to fail you and I'm not going to play for you today. You know, you can always keep going, and it's been a, you know, a beacon in a lot of things. You know, you don't have direction, just play, keep going on what you want to do. You know, feel sad, pick up that guitar, play some music. It'll help you emote and get those emotions out. So yeah, it's helped a lot.
That's therapy, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, even if you're not playing it and you're just listening to it. You know, I mean, you put on your favorite song. I mean, it'll make you feel better. I mean, you're cleaning the house. What do people do? They put on music, you know, and they're dancing around doing stupid stuff just because it feels good. Mm-hmm. Or even blues musicians, you know, sometimes blues gets that it's sad, you know, but it's not really sad all the time. It can be funny, it can be happy, but, you know, you can listen to some blues and you can feel along with the singer's feeling, you know, my girl left me. My gosh, here's the way I feel today. Oh my gosh, I'm not the only one who felt this way. Mm. There's always somebody else who's felt this way. And you can connect with that. And it doesn't matter what kind of style of music it is or any particular genre. It's just, it gives you that feeling. And that's what music is about, is that feeling.
Very true. And what would you tell your younger self?
About pertaining to music?
Yeah. And wellness and just life in general, music, wellness and life. Yeah. What would you tell yourself?
Well, there are certain aspects in I guess I would change and things that I should have done earlier pertaining to music, like, you know, being able to read music even better, make sure I focus on it or things like that. But with as far as wellness, just keep going, doing the music. Because it's going to be there and it's going to help you through those difficult times. It was going to help me give me that focus that I spoke about and that purpose. Mm-hmm. Because there haven't been other things in my life that have done that. I can't say watching the latest television show that I really enjoy has given me that purpose. You know, that's not something that's, oh, okay, I'm, because you're passive. You're not involved in it. It's just, it's there. You are passively engaged, but with music, it's actively engaged. It's something that's been there. So yeah, it's definitely helped my mental stability. I'll say that. Not that I am prone to, you know, depression or, you know, anything like that, any mental illness, but it is definitely been an equalizer to give me something to look forward to, you know, mm-hmm. working on a new song or some other skill that I'm looking forward to acquiring.
Yeah, no, that's it. Whether you're using it to help through your emotions or maybe something that is deep.
And for some people, it might be knitting. And, you know, I say that knowing that I've played at a store that did knitting. People came where I did a gig one time and I played. And these folks who came out, these ladies, they were just all into knitting. And they went to the store and then they got their stuff and they just sat there while I was playing. And they were knitting. I mean. That was their jam. So, you know, everybody's got something, you know?
That's very true. That's very true. So music is a big help. And what would be your takeover message?
You're young or old, or you're somebody who just started and can only play, you know, you're having trouble playing a basic E chord. Mm-hmm. Just keep at it, because the more you do it, the better you will get at it. And it will give you some direction. and you will get enjoyment out of it. And it's something that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. You know, you can, there's only so far that you can, if you play basketball, you know, not everybody plays basketball into their, you know, 60s or 70s, you know, but there are a heck of a lot of musicians out there playing in their 70s, 80s, and 90s.
That's still playing. Very true. That's very true. I'm sure we can just flick back a few, you know, series on Britain's Got Talent, and you know, there's a 70, 80 year old playing a guitar or something like that. So it's true. It's a talent. It's a gift, and it's something that you keep practicing, harnessing on, and for uplifting, well-being, which is nice. You know, which we all need something to help keep that mental health in the best
way. Yeah, I think given the times that we're in, I think folks need that. You know, we start to realize how maybe important some things are in our lives. And it doesn't necessarily have to be music for everybody, but, you know, it starts to look at, once again, it's giving me purpose to say, wow, you know, during this downtime when I'm not performing, what can I do? Mm. And like I told you, I was on Facebook Live and I was like, wow, I had so much fun doing this. It gave me something. Or I'm, you know, recording some music, or I'm doing my own podcast. You know, I'm editing my own podcast, which has to do with music. You know, it's given me that something else to do. So I'm not that guy sitting home going, I'm bored. What am I going to do? If anything, I've got too much to do right now.
Oh, you see? And there it is. There it is. What an amazing insight as well, just for a musician and just for speaking to us about you and your experiences as well. Very, very eye-opening. And I've got to say, I appreciate you airing and sharing. I know that's it. No, hold back on that one as well. So do you want to just tell the listeners just your podcast?
Sure. Well, you can find me, my website, which I'm kind of redoing right now, but you can find the website. It's Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, Ablan, A-B-L-A-N, MatthewAblan.com. You can check me out over there. My podcast is actually called Queen City Music Podcast. It is a podcast devoted to the local music scene here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I talk to musicians, artisans, venue owners, all about our local scene here in Charlotte. And I also have a blog. If you have any listeners who are interested in guitar, it's called The Guitar Teaching Blog. And it's very bare bones. It's all geared towards guitar teachers and how to teach the guitar. But if you're a beginner and you're interested, go to that website. It'll definitely give you some things to check out and learn about. So.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. So such a busy guy, blogger, podcaster, musician. So I really appreciate you coming on here and just connecting with us, really. So
no, thank you for having me. It's such a different turn, you know, having your own podcast and interviewing people and then people asking you questions, and that's a real blast. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, see, that, I appreciate it. And yes, and thank you, listeners, for joining in. And hopefully, yeah, we have to catch up. And please, please let us know by your EP. Just keep let us know, and then I could put it as an outro to one of my episodes. So we're gonna hype you up. We need to hype you up, Matthew.
Oh, so, thanks.
You're very much welcome. And take care of yourself.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.